Welcome to the Analog Assault Podcast. Buckle up for some large explosions and some great nerd talk. Let's go.
You're listening to Analog Assault, a video game podcast by Mulehorn Gaming.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to Season 2, Episode 8, Analog Assault Podcast. We have our typical host here tonight. We have Rad. Hey, Rad.
Hello.
We have T-Pram. What's up, T-Pram?
Howdy.
We have Lupo. And we have Scarecrow. What's up, guys?
Howdy.
Well, I'm excited for this week's podcast. I can't wait to go over some things in here. We got a lot of good stuff to talk about. We're going to talk about some Assassin's Creed live service. We're going to talk about the new Witcher stuff. And maybe a little bit of stuff about, I have a little thing, if we have time, talk about a little something with COD. And then, of course, Loki. So, but before we do all of that, we got to do On the Clock. And that's basically you guys just tell me what you've been doing, what you've been playing, and you got 2 minutes. And if you hear this, then you're out of time. So, let's see. Who's going to go first? Lupo, you're on the clock.
Wow. Lupo with tea in his mouth.
All right. So, I was out of town for a week, so I didn't have my PC or anything like that at my disposal. So, I played a lot of Switch over the last week or so I played a lot of Pokemon Sword and Shield, caught up with the last expansion, so did the story content for that, did some of the max raid adventures, which was pretty fun, and I kind of enjoyed it. Got me psyched up for future Pokemon content coming in November with the new remakes coming, so I'm pretty excited. So that led to me playing more Pokemon Go, because obviously I was on the road, and you know, you kind of want to experience what's going on in the different parts of the country. So played a lot of Pokemon Go, and that led me to just continue playing while I'm here. So I just kind of like consume my life for the better part of the last weekend, just going out and playing some Pokemon Go. But once I returned, went back to the normal routine of playing Apex and Destiny 2, just because like those are still the games that are just completely consuming my life. Destiny has the Solstice of Heroes event going on right now, just kind of the celebration of like everything you've done over the course of the year, more or less. So doing those things, your new armor set to unlock and earn. So watching, let's see. I know I did something. Oh, I started watching an anime called SSSS Dina Zenon, which is the continuation of SSSS Gridman. So I've been really enjoying that. It's been pretty good. I started watching Back Arrow, which is another anime. It's like sort of mecha inspired. And that's about it. Yeah, Back Arrow. Check it out. It's not
10 seconds. I was so close to hitting that buzzer. That was so close.
Nice. Nice. Done.
I had a lot to catch up on. I haven't been on the cast for 2 weeks.
I know. You did. You did great, man. You had 10 seconds to spare. Let's go with Scarecrow. You're on the clock.
Oh, okay. So let's see. Starting off, we'll go with games first. Been playing my usuals. Been grinding up some Genshin and some PSO2. PSO2's got their kind of 9th anniversary event going on. People think, 9th anniversary? It's only been out for a year. Well, not in Japan. But enjoying that. It doesn't have a whole lot, so it's like I log in, do my dailies, kind of screw around for a little bit, maybe do an urgent quest, and then just jump off. So it's kind of fun. Get a little bit in there, see what crazy people outfits have gone in there. Dog and I were in there today messing around, and he's like, whoa, okay. He's like, there's a lot of weird things going on here, and I look, like, yeah, you're on block 69, that's why. other than that, played a bit of Destiny, did some raiding. We tried to do the Master Raid, and boy, howdy. Yeah, that did not go well.
Not so good.
Other than that, watched Bad Batch and the season finale of Loki. And then also, I guess, I actually watched Black Widow, which...
Yeah. All right.
So that was pretty much me this week. Oh, and logged into Final Fantasy 14 a little bit today.
Very nice. You had 36 seconds, man. You had plenty of time.
Wow.
Next up, we're going with prime time. You're on the clock.
All right. So I haven't been doing a whole lot of gaming this week. I have one kid at camp, and my son's been with me all week, and we just been kind of staying and doing our thing. Not been playing a whole lot, but for last weekend and a little bit this week, it's been a more of a Halo multiplayer when I can squeeze it in, and it's just too much crazy fun. I can't.
Did you say prime PvP?
I know, right? Who would have thought? It's nuts. I mean,
the side quest man himself.
Getting little streaks. Some of them are getting like, you know, top ranked a little bit. I'm like, what is happening? It blows my mind. But just having fun. Playing some more Scarlet Nexus, and the story's a little different for me to get through. But
it's an anime story.
Yeah,
seems like
well,
it.
Well, I like a lot of. There's some animes I like a lot. Some animes I'm like, what? But this story, I'm like, why am I falling asleep? But I guess it's when you're in the hideout, I fall asleep a lot. But the combat, oh my gosh, the combat's really awesome. I can't get enough of that. Just combos for days, brain mode, brain crash. I mean, it's just, it looks amazing. It feels amazing. It's very satisfying. Finish off the Resident Evil Infinity Dark. That was pretty cool. Started back on Yosuke, an animation on Netflix, Samurai Anime. And of course Loki, which is amazing, and then Black Widow in the theater. Holy crap! Saw it in IMAX. Saw it with some of the Nerd Food crew. Nice. Had a blast. Loved it. Marvel just dishing out the good stuff, man. Dishing out the good
all
stuff.
The good.
And that is about it.
All right, you had plenty of time as well. So last but not least, Rad, you're on the clock.
I'm on the clock, baby. Neat. So this will come as just such a huge shock to everybody in existence, but I've been playing a lot of Mass Effect and, I know, but I've also, I have the Rad Alliance, my community playthrough where I'm rolling a die to, make all of my decisions for me. It's going horribly. I killed everybody on Pharos. Sorry. And then I'm also doing a Mass Effect 3 playthrough where I just like ported my original character, but like changed how she looked so that letting Liara down would be easier so I could remit somebody before. And then I also have been playing a lot of Apex. So I finished my Battle Pass. I really enjoyed the Genesis event. Which was a lot of Valkyrie stuff. Valkyrie's my girl, so that was really enjoyable. And then in terms of what I've been watching, a lot of sports per usual. The MLB All-Star game was last week. The Tampa Bay Lightning, back-to-back, baby, winning the Stanley Cup. Yeah, go boys. It's been a good couple weeks for the Rays, for the Tampa Bay teams. The Rays had a few representatives in the All-Star game. You guys know me. I love my sports. And then the only other thing that happened to me over the past week is I announced that my friend Lexi and I will be doing a Mass Effect themed podcast called The Broker's Terminal. It'll be audio only. It'll be monthly. We're going to be recording well in advance and then just kind of like releasing episodes. I plan to do monthly, but if we can get a lot of content, then I'm going to do, we'll find out. So we're recording our first episode this weekend, and then we're looking forward to integrating MHG when we can.
That's very all nice. Woo! Look at that. Everyone had so much time, man. So much time.
Yep. Brad, I got to say, I'm probably not alone in saying this, but I cannot wait for that podcast.
I appreciate that, dude. You know, like, I know I'm over my time very briefly. Like, playing Mass Effect again with the Legendary Edition has been so meaningful, like, for me, and I know so many other people. And it really just reminded me, like, why I enjoy gaming, why Mass Effect meant so much to me. And my friend Lexi and I talk about it. You guys, I think, have interacted with Lexi a few times, but her and I talk about it so much. And we were like, why aren't we recording this? And I have some guests already lined up. So it'll be really fun to talk about Mass Effect with people throughout the Mass Effect and gaming community. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Right on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Emil, you got to put yourself on the clock, man.
You're actually the best for last, man.
All right, here we go. Yes, watch Black Widow, watch Bad Batch, watch Loki, all was great. Watch Black Widow in the theaters with my two boys, so that was fun. And then watch Black Widow as a date night with the wifey, because we actually are celebrating 14 years of marriage as of Wednesday. So
congrats, man.
We're going to do a fun little thing this weekend, but the Black Widow, we rented it from Disney Plus or whatever you do, you know, the premium or whatever. So that was fun. Gaming-wise, it's been pretty much Halo. I mean, I actually did go back in the SOTOR. I did go back in the SOTOR. So you're welcome, Trax. You're going to get pulled back in with me. I know you. We watched the stream. I know you were like, thanks, Mule. I'm going back to play SOTOR. But but yeah, Halo, it's just felt amazing. It is felt like the old times when you had a crew of just 15 people in a party chat or whatever. It would be 8 people and you're just having a good time and you're having laughs and you're playing games and it just felt good. It's felt really good. I felt like I've kind of gotten back to my roots of Halo and doing that. But other than that, I actually took a couple nights where I didn't even touch my Xbox or PC. I didn't play any games. It felt kind of weird, but at the same time, it felt kind of relaxing. And I actually got to bed before midnight. So it was like... I was like, oh man.
Are you even a gamer anymore?
I know. It felt weird.
You got sleep.
That's about it. I got plenty of time on the clock. So, you know, not going over, but
I'll steal your last 15 seconds and say, I did the same thing a couple years ago with the guys from Freelancer Codex. Like, Steve like messaged me super late one night and he was like, hey, we're all playing Halo. Do you want to play Halo? I hadn't played Halo in years at that point. I was like, sure, I'll jump in. And like you said, like, It's one of the most just like genuinely fun experiences when you just have a bunch of dudes in a party chat and just playing Halo, talking trash and maybe having some adult beverages.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was a good time. Looking forward to like Infinite and the lead up to that too, for sure.
Yep. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Just like old times.
Yeah, with that said, I guess I'll take the lead here. We'll talk a little bit about some of the news we got out of Ubisoft last week. So I was actually on Wednesday. I remember I was doing some driving and listening to some of the things going on. And so Ubisoft, you know, it feels like this is kind of out of left field. So they, you know, they announced some updates and like their future plans for Valhalla just a little bit. Kind of just gave their intentions for it, but more importantly, announced a live service model for a future Assassin's Creed title called Assassin's Creed Infinite. Infinity. Assassin's Creed Infinity. It's not Infinite. Infinity. which is going to be developed by Montreal and Quebec, the two Canada studios up there. So I guess this leads to a little bit of dissension because people are you know used to that traditional RPG experience when they're playing Assassin's Creed. So what are your guys' thoughts on a live service model for Assassin's Creed?
My first thought, which was I think was a go-to for many on Twitter, when Splinter Cell.
Yeah.
But back to the point, the idea doesn't set too well with me because, I mean, we don't have any details. I get that. But another open world live service, untested type atmosphere of Assassin's Creed. I don't know. I would want it to be awesome, but I just don't feel good about it. It's weird.
You know, it makes me think, and I have not played a lot of Assassin's Creed. Last year when MHG was on the Odyssey kick, I did, no pun intended, because there's Spartan kicks in that game. I did jump in and I enjoyed it. I learned later that it wasn't really the typical Assassin's Creed experience. But, you know, my thought is it reminds me a little bit of Andromeda, not necessarily Odyssey, but this news, because it kind of makes me think like Mass Effect just kind of jumped to people like open world games. So let's make a Mass Effect that's open world. I'm not complaining. I liked Andromeda, but this sounds like people like live service games. Let's make this live service. And so they're kind of like not that that's necessarily the wrong tactic, but they're looking for like, how do we keep this title relevant you know, with the type of gaming that people like. And so that's kind of the move right. that it reminds me of. And that's not really, like I said, a critique of Andromeda or this type of move. That's just what it reminds me of.
Yeah.
The first thing I thought of when I saw this, I was like, the first thing I thought of was Unity and how I know they've not said anything that this is co-op or anything, but anytime they've done anything abstract out of their like normalcy hasn't done so well. Like, in my opinion, like they've done multiple Assassin's Creed multiplayers, and it was never good. And then they tried to do Unity where you could do like co-op missions. Granted, this is like, I think that was early days of Xbox One.
Yep.
So there were a lot of issues with that. Just didn't work. They have come a long ways, but still, I could see a lot of issues.
I mean, like, now, Unity like was being co-developed at the same time as another Assassin's Creed title, Rogue, was being done at the same time for the 360 or previous generation games. So you had you had multiple games being developed at the same time by, I guess, like smaller like gaming wasn't what it is now then, you know, like studios were a little bit smaller, focuses were a little bit different, you know. So like I'd be willing to give them a chance at being someone that's like that plays a lot of different types of live service games, and I prefer most of them. And you know, when Ben was on the podcast a couple weeks ago, I guess a couple months ago now, you know, it's a more cost effective scenario to develop a game and you know, get the most out of a game. So in that aspect I completely understand, but I don't, like, I'm not invested either way personally, but I like the idea. I would just have to see it implemented in practice, you know. Like, is it, like you said, is it going to be like a multiplayer experience with like weekly or daily content or something like that, or is it going to be like a first person experience where you get like episodic things? And I think with Assassin's Creed, like traditionally it's like you could start like in like, I don't know the technical terms of everything because I've only played like one or two, but like you're basically like in a brain tank more or less, and you're kind of going into your relative's memories and stuff like that. So that could be part of the live service where basically like you set your character up and then you're going into these missions weekly, quarterly, monthly, whatever they choose to do. So I think like in that aspect, it could be interesting, and it could provide content long term for people without having to develop an entire game. Because I think if you develop a full game and try to pump them out as fast as they want to do it, you just get a really watered down game. And that's definitely going to be an issue.
Yeah. And I could see that being a problem, like you were saying, where you jump around. That would mean that would it all be the same time period, or are you jumping around and they have to make all these other maps?
Well, maybe seasonally it's a time period. So you have like, you know, the French Revolution, or you have you know, the Wild West, for all we know. You know, you could do like a ton of different things with that scenario. So I'm interested to see what it's all about.
If they could do it, it'd be crazy, but the fact that those maps that they have are just so huge and detailed,
yeah,
you couldn't pump out one of those quarterly.
Every quarter, yeah.
At all. True. No, you'd have to like reuse a bunch. They could go back and like say, hey, this was also going on during this time period in this thing, reuse some of the other stuff. I know we've had that conversation of reuse content, but
yeah,
dude. I think it's totally what they're going to do is take all the older games and bring them up to a new engine and have it where you can just go in the Animus, right? Or whatever it's called.
Yeah. I mean, if I could play AC1, like the original Altair,
that's with everything that's what I think they're going to do.
Like an upgraded engine, that would be awesome.
I think that's like, what they're going to have it like. All the different games, and basically you can go back, you can buy skins, you can get whatever from whatever time period, and they'll have it kind of like you're saying, Crow and Lupo, where you have weeklies or dailies or whatever, and they'll be like, all right, you're here at this science building, your weeklies are this and Assassin's Creed 3 era, you can go get in your Anubis and go into that era and play around, or you can jump in with some bros and you can go fight an Odyssey. You know, like, hey, what? It's basically like pick your own adventure, but all the Assassin's Creed games in one big engine, which that could work because they could already have all the assets. They already have all the assets and everything built out.
I would love to actually see like good co-op in an Assassin's Creed, because almost like it kind of like your. It almost reminds me of like a medieval like stealth op.
Think about raiding in Valhalla, like Prime. Let's go raid a little bit, and then let's go jump over to Assassin's Creed 3 and take out some of the Frenchmen or something. You know, like
those red coats are going down.
I think that would be really cool because it's going to be a way for them to be able to pump older skins in that maybe people want or content, and people will buy it if it's like repackaged in the new skin or a new engine, and it'll be a great way too because then they don't have to rebuild assets for future iterations. Like if they want to build on a certain era, then they can just build off of that what they have. Like, hey, we want to go back and to Black Flag, and we want to add this now, and here you go, you get this for a month, guys, go have fun. Like people will flock to that because, you know, fear of missing out, and it's a live service, so people will just continually be in their ecosystem and they'll make money off of it. That's the whole reason why I think they're doing it. Yeah, I don't know if it'll be successful, but
every time we talk about microtransactions and development of games and stuff like that, you got to bring up GTA, you know, and GTA 5 came out in 2012, you know, and the game is still producing content because they're literally just constantly, you know, refeeding the microtransactions, you know, and it's basically the game is basically printing money now. Like it's still like GTA 5 is on the top. I don't think it's dropped out of the top 20 since it released in 2012, which is really crazy to think about.
I mean, PSO2 came out the same year and they're still just released a like almost a full new version.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but I mean, like GTA is like an exception to anything because it's just making so much money now. And like people bring up the conversation, like when's GTA 6 going to come out? And like honestly, never. But you know, I
why
think
should
2025.
They?
No, and that's the point I'm trying
that's
to make.
That's exactly
that, like,
right. Yeah,
and I think that's what GTA like forever. What other people want to tap into that ability, you know? And like some people have tried and failed, you know? And I think they you can't wrong them for trying those type of things, you know. And you know, my closing point with this whole thing is, you know, it's like I just think give it a chance,
and they're gonna save a crap ton of money because they don't I mean, if they already all they have the assets, they already have the manpower they put into it, then it's not going to take it near as much money to make a new game, you know, when they can just update whatever they have, you know.
Yeah.
And I think it's a perfect time now that people of a younger generation that are getting into like the newer Assassin's Creed games, you can bridge that gap back to the original series. You know, people didn't
Shows
play
the actual good
you
ones.
Know, yep, didn't play Altair or didn't play Ezio. You know, so
yeah.
Well, you know, the more we talk about it, the more I'm like, okay, maybe it's something that I could be into.
I mean, we're speculating here, you know, and it could be nothing when we're talking.
Yeah,
right.
So here you are, like, getting all excited for something that doesn't exist.
And then
you
it's
know?
Actually what you think it could be, and then you're like, oh,
it's completely garbage. Never mind.
So, Ubisoft, if you're listening, you need to hire us for creative directors. We'd be great at it. Analog Assault podcast crew, we are on point.
Heard it here first. Yeah.
So, Rad, I heard you got something to talk about this week.
I do. Now, many of you guys have, for the past chunk of this year, I've heard me talk about Mass Effect. You've heard me talk a little bit about Horizon Zero Dawn. But one game, for sure, that I really, really enjoy is The Witcher 3. And there has been, for the first time ever, a WitcherCon, which happened this past Friday. Of course, I was at Universal Studios while that was happening, so I didn't get to watch it live. However, I did get to go on some roller coasters and drink some butter beer, so that was great. But I did get to, when I got home, check out the new trailers for all the new things. And the TLDR is this, you guys. So season 2 of the critically acclaimed, I think, Netflix series. Hey, look, here we go, Mule, hitting that
trailer
button. Awesome. Season 2 will launch December 17th on Netflix, and the best part, guys, about it launching on Netflix is that we can watch it in one dang day. And last year, I was like, or not last year, but in 2019 when it came out, I was like, dude, I'll watch an episode. And then 10 episodes later, when I finished the season, the same day, I was wanting more.
What day is it again?
Exactly.
What day is it? I didn't know. I didn't even know it was the same day. So you guys have the trailer here that you can see, but my favorite acronym ever, TLDR. Basically, what we're going to see here in season two is Ciri, who is now the ward, if you will, of Geralt, will be at Kaer Morhen training to become a Witcher. Not really a spoiler. That's kind of the whole thing in Witcher 3, certainly if you've played it. So you see there, it is based on the, I might be a little ahead or behind you guys, sorry. But it is based on the books more so, but they do add elements of the game into it. And it's also like a different medium completely. And so they take their own, sort of creative, you know, liberties as they will with the TV show. But that's what you can expect out of season two. So before I talk about kind of the next thing, what are you guys here on the panel looking forward to out of season two?
I'm starting with Thaddeus
because Thaddeus is really excited as well.
I'm looking to see more content, more book-based content that we didn't see in the games being played out in this live action.
Sure.
I haven't played the first two Witchers, but I've told the story enough.
Yeah.
And it's very intriguing story. It's very a story that really sucks you in, especially after playing three and it being invested in so many characters.
Sure.
Seeing her training was more so done like in a flashback type sequence. Well, now we get to see it played out.
Sure.
That I'm excited about. Very excited about.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't have the verbiage in front of me and I apologize, but, you know, in Witcher 3, you know, Ciri's whole thing is that she's the descendant of this, I believe, really powerful mage. And
you just spoiled Witcher 3 for me. No, I'm joking.
Yeah, I knew you were going to play it. So, so I'm looking forward to seeing how she... it's because of your really shitty opinions, Mule. So it's because she I felt really bad about it. Before I was in Nate's DMs, like I think we heard his feelings, like actually. I'm looking forward to seeing like how she begins to experience some of these powers. So that'll be really cool. And then I'm a big Yennefer fan. So what do the rest of you guys got for season two? What are you looking forward to?
More monsters and more fighting. I want to see a lot more swordplay because that one episode when he's just fighting those village people, I was like, dude, this is what I'm all about. Give me this right here. Give me some BA action with some Witcher powers. That sucked me in.
Yeah, and there was pretty good combat the whole first season, I think.
And I actually watched the whole season because I actually enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. And
you know why you finished it? Because there wasn't a single Griffin in the whole series.
I know. And I didn't have all these side quests. But
That's great.
I think, too, like from what I've heard, at least, I haven't read them. I heard the books are like fantastic. So if they're going toward that direction, I'm excited to see what they're going to do. Because I'm like fresh faced on this. I don't know anything about The Witcher. So. Same.
Sure. And a lot of the chatter that I hear from like the diehards, which you get this sort of in any series, you know, I'm a big Harry Potter fan and I've had my qualms, if you will, with the movies. But some people are like, man, they're not really portraying it right and this and that, whatever. But, you know, it's TV. They have to add the TV-ness to it. So I think that they'll do a pretty good job of getting the point across in a way that's as loyal as it can be to both the books and the game while also producing, you know, a great entertaining TV show.
Yeah.
Anything else about season two? I don't want to leave Crow and Lupo out.
No, I'm going to take it at face value. You know, sure. I have no investment to Witcher at all. You know, I really enjoyed the first season. Maybe this will influence me to play the game eventually, but like I'm in it for the ride. Like you said, I'll, once it releases, I will binge it probably within 2 days and, talk about it on the podcast.
Yeah, I will talk about that show on the podcast. Yeah. I actually wrote a review for Mulehorn Gaming of the first season way back in the day. So that is out there on the ether. You guys are.
It'll be episode rad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it looks like to me that this is gonna, this will probably actually like line up right with the beginning of Witcher 3, which is gonna be interesting to see.
Just at least the flashback, or, yeah.
We'll see. Well, I mean, it could line up right to where she's now a Witcher, so we'll have to see. We don't know. I'm interested to see what goes on. If they do, then it's like, oh, that's kind of hard to do a season 3, so they probably won't. They'll probably do it. They probably won't bring it up to The Witcher 3. Bring it up like before so they can do a season 3.
Yeah, I think the show has a cool potential responsibility of like what happens after Witcher 3. So it could do that as well.
They would just have to do a big time jump.
I mean, it depends on how long the show goes or what happens in season 2, but we'll find out.
If they went from season 2 to like it going up, the end of it ending where Witcher 3 starts, and then if they wanted to make a season 3, they would have to do it where Witcher 3 ends, which is a good chunk of time.
We'll have to
unless
find
they
out.
Would want to create
17th Netflix, you can stream all episodes. And then like I said, I'm invested in Yennefer's story because I love her, and that's really all I have. So the other show, actually it was not a show, the other thing that was announced at WitcherCon in terms of a Netflix series is an animated movie following Vesemir's origins, which is actually really great. So for those of you guys who are up to date, or not really up to date, but in the know of Witcher, you'll know that Vesemir is Geralt's mentor, if you will, as part of the Witcher fellows. And so he'll probably also be in... Vesemir was not in season 1, was he? I don't remember. No. So he was cast for season 2. So we'll be seeing Vesemir in season 2, but we'll be getting the animated movie. Ooh, I don't remember the date. I apologize. But it's soon. It's before... I think it's in September. August or September.
I don't know.
It's before season 2 comes out, which is on purpose, so that when Vesemir shows up, everyone's like, oh, Vesemir. So that will also be happening through Netflix. And then the last big-ish thing that was announced was that Witcher 3 will be receiving updates, graphical, you know, optimization updates for PS5, Xbox Series X and S, and also PC. That will include some sort of DLC related to Netflix or in conjunction with Netflix. My guess is that while Geralt White Wolf in the game is an absolutely stunning looking fellow, my guess is that we're going to have the option for him to look like Henry Cavill and potentially have the other characters match more of their Netflix counterparts.
Cool.
But there could be other things too.
I dig that. I might actually play it.
I think that would be cool. Or at least to have the option of it. You know, like you have the option to like
might get through the tutorial meal.
Hey, I got to the butcher. That's how far I got. So
the butcher,
the guy in the castle.
Whoever
that guy is.
You got to get out of Velen, dude. Like,
I
listen,
did.
When you
I got,
get to
I got
Novigrad,
to, that's where I got to. Yeah.
Like, you got to Novigrad and then you were like, I'm done.
Yeah.
That's terrible. I still can't respect it. Like, Novigrad actually is, like, pretty legit, you know? Novigrad has, like, stuff going on, but okay, you know, I'm not gonna pass judgment. But that's all the info, not all the info, but those were sort of the big headliners out of WitcherCon. It was really cool. I think some people, just to sort of end cap it here, were expecting maybe some sort of announcement related to Cyberpunk, just because it's easy to tag Cyberpunk on the end of things when the Witcher's involved, because everybody actually likes Witcher. But nothing... happened. So
so
cool.
I think we got enough time here. I'm gonna ask this question since we all play pretty much first person shooters and play a lot of PvP, we all do it. Some of us less than others, like Mr. Primetime.
Hey-o.
But I've been seeing this a lot on TikTok, on Twitter, on YouTube, and it just got me curious. You know, COD was like the king of the castle for a long time, right? Warzone, like, and then they've just had so much cheating in the game. And there's now cheating in like Xbox and things like that. And basically Activision's like what they're doing to counter the cheating is basically just sue the cheating companies to get them to shut down. But
now
there's just other people that just pick right back up and it just keeps going. It's also Nick Merckx and a lot of others have actually been saying, like, man, because, you know, everyone basically has moved over to Apex. And all these guys are saying, like, dude, if Halo is good, like, he's like singing the Halo song on his stream. He's like, if it's good, that's all I'm going to play. And for Nick Merckx, like, I was checking numbers. He's like, I think the highest sub count on Twitch. I think he has the most active subs on Twitch the last time I checked.
Wow.
But
Tim?
Yeah.
I mean, I believe you, but.
Yeah. And I checked the active players on across all platforms for Warzone, and it's dropped significantly. Like, it got down to like 230,000 active players, which is crazy. Oh, yeah. When it used to be like 500,000, you know,
looking at some stats the other day from a guy that posted a video, and like Destiny has over four times as many players as Warzone does right now.
Yeah, it's nuts.
And people call Destiny a dead game.
It's nuts, man. It's just like, so it makes me ask, like, could Halo crown itself back to king? Could it be
here's my piece.
Yeah, I want to hear my piece.
The only way and the only reason, like, Halo even has a standing chance in this argument right now is because it'll be free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you pay $60 for Halo and $60 for even multiplayer of Call of Duty, it wouldn't even stand toe to toe with it.
Yeah.
It's Call of Duty has the numbers, the fan base to back it up. It's an annual title that people just continually come back to. And just people want that experience. Like, they're used to the super high TTK. And I don't think Halo is going to have the experience that people are looking for that Warzone offers or Apex offers. I could be wrong, but I don't see Halo taking that crown, especially if people are like, people are so weird with Halo though. Like, because I feel like every iteration, like, you have those diehards that like really, really love just like the progression that Halo has taken over the years. And then you just have some devouts that just like, nah, Halo 1's best, Halo 2, Halo 3, you know, and just people like dump on 4 and often 5, you know, and I don't know. It's just like, I don't see it, no matter how good it is, ever taking the spots from, you know, the big three right now, and which are the big three are all, you know, battle royales, you know, but I mean, you got to consider other like Counter-Strike and stuff like that. And Valorant's getting popular as well.
Well, yeah. I think just to, you know, sort of piggyback a little bit shocking off of what Lupo was saying, I think that it's not even just about the brand anymore. I think it's the way that a game resonates with a player, and also like the feeling that a player gets. And there is nothing that is more high stake for a gamer than a battle royale game. I mean, there's really not. There's nothing that makes, you know, someone feel, well, that's why they're so popular. I mean, that's literally,
I'd argue that CSGO stakes are much, much higher.
Well, no. So what I agree with you, because it's fairly similar. It's fairly like correct. Yeah. So it's, but there have been like studies when Fortnite was like at the peak of, you know, its existence in 2018 and 2019, there were people doing studies on why Fortnite was like so popular and why people and kids specifically could like not put Fortnite down. And it was
free.
It's free, yep. But also because of the risk reward of Fortnite. It's like gambling. I mean, it really is. And so that's when you put free and that type of like rush in your brain together, you can't beat that. You can't. And so that's why these free games, you know, do so well.
I think that's going to help it too, because it's free to play. And if you have people like Ninja and Nick Merckx that are pumping it out,
then Ninja will play Halo for 30 days.
And you know, Dr. Disrespect has also been talking about it. So
all it takes,
man, is those big streamers to start pumping it. And I think people will give it more of a try, because I really do think, like, jumping back into it, I'm like, I'm having more fun in the Master Chief Collection than I had in Warzone or Apex, which is saying a lot for me. Saying a lot. So
I'm with Lupo. I think it's the freeness of it that's going to be the shiny for most people. And I'm also with Lupo that, you know, I don't think it's going to outlive these other games that are already cemented.
It's a live service game now. It's a live service game. So it may, I mean, it's going to be at least a 10-year plan. So it'll be interesting. So
a lot of other games that don't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at Destiny.
We'll see.
I think it's going to come out pretty competitively. It's just the matter is it going to come out hard enough to stick?
Yeah.
Like a sticky grenade.
Yeah. We don't want a Halo 5 where it's there for a month and everybody's like, okay, bye.
Yeah. Well, we don't want that.
Sorry, that was my little sidetrack. Okay, we're gonna hit this, guys that are watching, or if you're listening on the audio only, we are gonna talk spoilers for Loki because we have to.
I mean, I'm gonna mute.
So, guys, Loki, who wants to start? What are your thoughts? What do you think? Your theories? I want to hear it all.
I wasn't sure where they were going with it because it was so slow, but when they introduced Kane, I was like, okay, my mind started going a million different places because there's so many ways they can go with that based on the comics. I loved how the fact that he was the Apex Kane. He was the one who basically put all the other Kanes in place, isolated the timeline to be just him, and then they killed him. That's going to bring on the bad Kanes, the Conquerors, the other versions that are coming out. Yeah. Those are the ones that get the most attention in the comics for being villains. And I don't know a whole lot about him because I'm still trying to learn about him. But there's a lot of stuff that's going to go down with the multiverse, and Kane ties into Doctor Strange.
WandaVision. Multiverse of Madness.
Multiverse of Madness. And I think it was on, someone had a two screen split, was the timeline splitting. Below it was Doctor Strange going through the multiverse, like spinning through his body, and he could see the similarities. Like, okay, so he was basically at one point in the multi-universe going through it. So I just can't wait to see how this comes together. And I think even Scarlet Witch is going to be involved with that as well. So
potentially,
I'm glad they went with the Kane away instead of a King Loki. Yeah. I love that actor. I forget his name. I love that actor. He was in the horror show on HBO. But I love that actor. He did an amazing job. They had a banger of a series, and I cannot wait to see more and confirm season 2.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
Go
ahead. I got stuff later.
For me, it's interesting. So like, I didn't even know who he was. So very much like WandaVision, they're going deep into the comics to pull out more, more depth, more lore, So I didn't know who Agatha Harkness was when WandaVision finished up. I don't know who Kane is, I'm not a devout Marvel fan or anything like that. I enjoy the shows for what they are. I personally did not like the way it ended. Like, I understand it now, like after, Thaddeus gave his explanation of how things are going here. But getting to that end point, I was like, dude, like, now I gotta wait however many years for this to come back out. Like, it's so frustrating. Yeah. I saw a meme today that ties in, what Thaddeus said about the multiverse and stuff like that. It's like it was like a staircase, and we're, the person is Loki, like the person walking up the staircase, and you have all these steps, and it's like these are the other movies and shows coming, like Shang-Chi, Spider-Man and all that kind of stuff, and then like the top step is multiverse, and like we just want to skip all of that, just hit the top step and get to the next one, because everything else isn't like irrelevant, but like we are so hyped up right now because of like how good the season was. And like, honestly, up until the last episode, Loki was my favorite out of all of the shows. Like, I didn't like WandaVision. It was cool. I enjoyed it. I really, really liked Falcon and Winter Soldier. I enjoyed the entire series. Loki, just like the first time I fell asleep through the first episode just because I was beat, but like after that I was like, this is awesome, I'm really enjoying this. And now it's just like where it ended, I was just like, I don't know how I feel about it. I was like really disappointed that there was no closure. without saying like this is when the season's coming. So for all we know, it's gonna be a long time, but
yeah,
just my own frustrations personally.
I absolutely thought it was the best. It was the best Disney Plus TV show that we've gotten so far. I mean, it to me, it's better than WandaVision. It to me, it blew Falcon and Winter Soldier out of the water because it was just it felt like an old school drama with enough action to keep me engaged, you know, and good pacing. Like the pacing overall, I felt was pretty good. I mean, when you see the old Loki, you know, when he's like building Asgard, and then you get to see this, and it's just like, dude, it was just so cool. And it made me think, like, what's her name? The judge.
Renslayer.
Ravonna or whatever her name is.
Ravonna.
Yeah. Renslayer. So it made me think, because when she was talking to Mobius, she says, like, I'm in search of free will. And Kane sent her files that he thought would be more important for her to read than the stuff about the end of time and how everything started and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I got this weird vibe. What if she's a variant of him? And what if she's going to be the good guy that's going to take his place?
No, but she lived in 2018 and he was in the 3000.
What if he's a variant though? And that's like I'm just saying, like
she is a character in the comics.
She has her own character in the universe.
Yeah, but it felt weird. It felt weird. I was like, yeah, that feels significant.
In the comics too.
Yeah.
But in a different capacity. But
I like the
fact that she had no idea who he actually was. She just took the orders, but she began to become curious in her own way. Yep. Didn't want to embrace the chaos, but did want the freedom.
Yeah.
But where did she go afterwards? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love films that kind of mess with time, because it, for us as finite beings, it's hard for us to in our head think like, what is it like to live for almost eternity or for millennia and millions of years? Like, what's that like? Mm-hmm. And like, is it like he was saying, are they basically stuck in a circle? Cause he's like, soon, like, are they stuck in basically a loop where he keeps going to the top every time? Cause like, I don't know.
By that, he mean they're going to see him, not so much that version, but they're going to see him soon.
Yeah.
The ones that he warned them about. It's like, all right.
But he was saying like basically reincarnation, like, hey, eventually I know I will win out again and I'll be here again. So if you kill me now, this is basically going to happen all over again and I'll be here. It'll be a different version of me, but it'll be here, you know? But it's just like, it's just a mind bender when you start thinking about it, dude. And it's just like, what? Like, how could that? And it's crazy, too, because like all the what if stuff could actually become canon.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. Like that was mentioned today, too.
It's like, brings back dead characters.
After this happened, all the what ifs are, like you said, could be very much canon because it's a different universe.
You see Iron Man again?
Loki.
Yeah. And did you catch that one Easter egg where Thor was like the little frog or whatever that Loki turned him into?
The frog.
Yeah.
Yeah, frog Thor.
Yeah. But
he actually recorded lines of that, but they didn't actually put it in there.
Yeah.
That's the whole same universe that the crocodile Loki comes from.
Yeah. Well, maybe, but Loki actually turned Thor into a frog.
So
I'm not sure if that's the case though.
Yeah.
And that theory is that there's a kind of a tie-in with that, is that Kid Loki killed Thor, he says. Mm-hmm. And then back in Ragnarok, I believe it was, Thor makes a comment about...
stabbed him.
He has a little story about how like Loki turned himself into a snake. Then Thor loves snakes, so he picked it up and he stabbed him. And... that is their theory, is like that's where Kid Loki comes from, is that timeline that he actually killed Thor when he does that as a child.
Speaking of timelines, you can see at the very end where Loki appeared in a different timeline. So
he's not even in the same.
Yeah, the Lady Thor sent him off to basically, I think she meant to send him to the original TVA based, but the timeline already started splitting.
Yeah.
So who knows where he ended up?
The timeline is splitting, so even the TVA doesn't have a central.
And I loved it too when he came back and he's like, "We can't stop him. This is why." And he's like, "Wait, you're an analyst, right?
Who are you? What department are you with?"
It's like, "Oh crap!
I have no idea who he is. Oh my god!"
Yeah, I mean, you could see Cap again because he might be on the moon. You never know. Yeah, I mean, you could see Black Widow again.
Did you all watch the video I put in the Discord, the spoiler one, about Everything Awesome?
Mm-mm, no,
I haven't watched it yet.
Well, one thing he mentioned in there is the music was different on the intro this time. They took pieces of different movies where there's alternate versions of different people as the intro music. And I was like, hinting the multiverse before they revealed the multiverse.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I can't wait. So as closing thoughts, let's give a ranking for the guys that seen it, because Rad hasn't seen it. She's been sitting here patiently waiting.
I have a closing thought of something completely separate. So you guys do your ranking, and then I just like to say one final thing about entertainment.
Yeah, go ahead. All right, Lupo, you first.
What are we ranking?
Loki, 1 to 10.
I'm going to give it an honest 7.75.
7.75.
Yeah.
Okay. Crow?
Not quite an 8, but not 7.5, because I feel 7.5 is just not good enough.
Yeah, I got you.
Crow? I'm gonna be weird. I'm only gonna give it a 5.
Wow.
I feel like they could. I didn't like the way they ended it. Like Lupo was saying, like it was really cool, but I wanted closure. And it also it ended. It seemed like it ended too soon. Like I didn't even realize
six episodes.
I didn't realize this one was the season finale, and it's like
until Mule said it. He's like, "Oh yeah, we're gonna do the season finale this week." What?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, all right, it was good. I really enjoyed it. I'm weird. I liked WandaVision better.
Yeah, it's good. Decent show.
Fair point.
Yeah.
For the one fact that it was way shorter than I wanted it to be, I can't give it a 9, but I'm gonna give it an 8.5 because I really, really enjoyed it. But I wanted so more. And maybe if I take out that aspect, it's a 9 easy for me.
Yeah. Just so I can one up Prime, I'm gonna say 8.51. I agree, Prime. I thought it was great. I loved it.
Yeah.
All right, Rad, what was your closing thought here?
Yeah, so I just want to mention the Emmy nominations have come out, and kudos to Mandalorian for snagging a ton of Emmy nominations again this year. Also, The Falcon and Winter. They got a lot. And then also, just as a final send-off, congratulations to the one true queen, Yvonne Strahovski, love of my life, for snagging an Emmy nomination for supporting actress in Handmaid's Tale. Handmaid's Tale is very dark, very gritty, and very difficult to watch. But if you want to see Yvonne Strahovski, Miranda Lawson, for those of you who are Mass Effect fans, put on a tremendous performance, please watch Handmaid's Tale. It is worth your time. She is stunning, and she deserves the nomination. And I will be upset if one of my space wives does not take home the Emmy. So that is just my final send off.
Right on.
Yeah.
Well, guys, if you like this podcast, make sure you visit MuleHornGaming.com. Check out the podcast page to find more great podcasts like the Bindu podcast, the Halo Infinite podcast, and ours right here, Analog Assault podcast. And if you're looking for more ways to support the podcast, check out the description below in our YouTube video. And if you're listening to audio, it's in there as well, so you guys can find it. You can use our Epic Creator Code, Amazon Store, all that good stuff. If you would, guys, like us on Facebook, leave us a review on iTunes. You can follow us all on Twitter. And remember, guys, when in doubt, blow it up! Blow it up! Release the Kraken!